Right now, of all the social media options out there, Instagram has frequently been thought of as the friendly option, with many user feeds filled with pictures of pets, food, and travel destinations. But our next guest says that while Facebook might demonstrate that a lot of us are kind of boring, and Twitter reveals that a lot of us like to argue, Instagram seems to be the place where everyone seems to be living their perfect life, except maybe for you. We want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. If you use Instagram, what do you get out of the experience? Do you use it for inspiration or to see photos of friends and family's lives? Do you feel content with that experience, or do you come away feeling maybe a little jealous of all the cool stuff everybody else is doing? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Alex Hearn is a technology reporter for The Guardian, joining us from the UK. He wrote the piece, Instagram is supposed to be friendly, so why is it making people so miserable? Alex, welcome to Central Time.
Hello, thank you for having me.
Well, Alex, a lot of people are familiar with Facebook. Instagram, it's popular, but the user numbers are smaller. So give us a quick Instagram 101 for people who haven't been on the service.
It is, like you say, it's Facebook's second social network. It's owned by the same company. They acquired it 6 years ago. And it's an image and video sharing focused network. So people post pictures and video onto the site. It shows up in a scrollable newsfeed style list of posts, and you can add text comments underneath. It's sort of lightly based on Twitter, or at least what Twitter was 6 years ago. And then as a separate story, there is a new sort of second element to the site, which is called Instagram Stories, which is still, importantly for this narrative, very image and video led.
And Instagram, you write, really pitched itself and tried to cultivate the reputation that, hey, this is the friendly, happy social media place. Is that right?
Exactly, yeah. And I think some of that is true. You know, one of the big things about having a social network that's so based around visual communication is that a lot of the things that aggravate, let's say, people about Twitter and Facebook, its two main competitors, don't really exist in the same level. You know, crucially, there's not huge arguments about politics on Instagram. There's not that much awful world news. It tends to be images of, you know, things that look good. Be that beautiful people, beautiful art, beautiful places, beautiful food. It is very much a place where successful Instagrammers tend to, and obviously there are always exceptions to something with north of 500 million users, but successful Instagram users tend to share pictures of things that you want to look at.
And that's where we start to run into trouble. What got you started on this path of Instagram maybe being too good, the images being too good and making us feel bad?
So for me, it was kind of a personal thing. I realized about myself that I don't like myself when I'm on any social network, but normally it's about overuse. You know, I come out of a Twitter hole and I've spent an hour there and it's awful and I've done nothing, but it's mostly just, oh God, I could have done something better with that time. What I noticed about Instagram was that I would open it within 5 minutes. I would actively feel, you know, a bit crappy. I would be sad that I wasn't out with my friends who were at that cool bar, or I'd be sad that all of my cooking was really lame compared to my friend who's done an amazing pasta bake, or I'd be upset that I'm not going to the gym as much as my friend who's really gained some abs over the summer. You know, all of those little things would just combine to leave me feeling crappy.
And I've seen the case made on Facebook in some cases, but maybe this is more true on Instagram, that we're getting the carefully edited and curated best of somebody else's life and then comparing it to our own everyday life, all the stuff. Is that part of the problem?
Absolutely. So, you know, it's very easy to know that consciously, to sit there and go, well, no, you know, I'm sitting here on a Tuesday night looking at Instagram, but yeah, my friend posted one picture in the whole of the last week, and it was the highlight of their entire week, and I'm comparing that to me on a schlobby Tuesday. Like, obviously, yes, you're not going to come off well with that. But the problem is, it's not a conscious thing. You know, you can tell yourself this, but all the same, that doesn't help. You still have this fear of missing out. You have this feeling that you're inferior. You often have this feeling that, oh, well, you know, when I took my picture like that, which I posted to the site last week, I was faking it for the cameras. I was doing this artifice. but they look really happy. So, you know, they must be really feeling it.
And then it's going to be a spiral, right? If I'm in that zone, then on my next picture that I post, I'm going to really try to up the ante and make it even better picture. So it's, and then I'll put that feeling on everybody else.
Exactly. So there, you really do get, you get this sort of tacit competition, and you just get, well, you get the end result of Instagram, which is a social network where it documents perfection, and it documents perfection in a very relatable way. It makes, unlike perhaps, you know, traditional broadcast TV or glossy magazines, it is perfection of your friends. And if they're not your real friends in real life, they're often people who feel like they could be your friends. You know, they feel relatable. They feel like they are living a very similar life to you, all of which makes that that comparison that people make all the harder to actually stand up to.
You feel this on Instagram. A lot of people feel this on Instagram. What do you think is the solution? Is there a better way to use this service, or is abstinence the best answer when it comes to the service?
Yeah, you know, I've not come up with an answer that I'm happy with. About half the people I spoke to who say that they love Instagram said that they found that the best thing to do was to focus on friends and family, to use it not as a way of looking at these perfect influencers with beautiful bodies and incredible lives, but just to keep up with the people they really care about. The other half said exactly the opposite. They said that the problem was that your friends and family sharing, you know, the lovely meals that they go on, that's what really gets you, because you know you could be doing that. You really know your friends and family. At least influencers, at least these perfect model celebrities, with them, you can know that you're not living their life. You can turn to them for inspiration, but you can distance yourself a bit. For me, certainly, I had a bit of introspection, and I found that it was the friends and family who were actually the ones who hurt me most, and it was very much a sort of fear of missing out thing. It was realizing that the thing that really cut to me was when I saw two of my friends together having fun, and always felt like, why didn't they invite me? Why wasn't I the third one? Probably because I said no. I'm quite a homebody. I like staying on the sofa.
So how have you cut yourself loose from Instagram? Do you email pictures to people if you have a picture you want to share? How do you manage this now?
I do use Instagram a lot less than I used to after this. I have, partially because I can't quite bring myself to unfollow friends and family, because, you know, I'm British, we're terribly polite, and that just feels rude to me. So rather than spark that confrontation, I've just stopped opening the app all that much. I use WhatsApp a lot. I quite like the direct communication of that. I feel like, you know, I send pictures to people who want to see pictures, but I try and sort of post things into the ether a bit less. I try and be a bit more direct and focused with my communication. And also, you know, I am actually just trying to spend less time on my phone and see the world. It's awfully banal, and it's the sort of thing which would sound terrible coming from an Instagram influencer, but it's kind of true.
Big picture, Alex, do you think we've just dived into all forms of social media a little too headlong, and maybe we need to do what you did in this piece, think and be intentional about how we use it?
Yeah, I really do. I think that the change in the world over the last decade has been huge, extremely quickly, and largely unintended even by the creators of these products, these services. I don't think we'll be using these tools the same way in a decade's time. And I don't think that will be because, you know, some other new hotness has replaced them. I think that we're going to get sort of societal mores will come in. It will be seen as, just in the same way that it's seen as a bit odd if you don't leave your house for 2 weeks, it will start to be seen as just a bit odd if you're the sort of person who is on social media all this time, or the sort of person who's posting certain types of content, or the sort of person, you know, we'll just end up, I hope, if everything comes out well at the other side, we'll end up having these little societal understandings about what is and isn't a healthy way to use these products.
Alex, thanks for joining us, and we won't follow you on Instagram.
Thank you very much.
That's Alex Hearn, technology reporter for The Guardian. He joined us from the UK to talk about his piece, Instagram is supposed to be friendly, so why is it making people so miserable?